A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. We get tweets at Media the Book. Phil Weiss, Paul Carr must be on Germany. And the FIBA.
Oh, man, great call.
That's a great call. He's always on
Auto winner for Paul today, yeah.
Bainbridge DeWeese. I'm a little worried about Kelly. Can you get a sunburn from a spray tan?
We'll find out if Matt ever kicks his field goal.
Nash, last name Nash. Next weekend, kicking field goals, spray tans, and maybe a trip to a secret sushi place to wrap it up. Should we put it on our calendars now?
Sounds good.
Larry L. Oh, this is very nice, Larry L. Watching the Thursday night football game last night was reminiscent what it was like watching a live game while primetime action was on. Missed that, but loving the crew back this morning. Yeah, it's great to have Matt on. We'll have him on every single Friday on the show talking football. Easy Pickens 52. Do you think you'll ever have Jason Robbins on a numbers game? You know what? We would love to have Jason Robbins sitting right here next to me at the table here at the D at
Welcome
Bar Canada. Come on down to Bar Canada. Nevada Razor. Hey, Gil, hope you enjoyed your summer. To follow up Dr. Bob, maybe Mac Jones just isn't very good and the OC competency does not matter at all. Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. So's Kelly. Let's talk to Chris Velika, everybody, on college football. He is the Bear. He is the host of the Bear Pod, which is both pro football, and then there's a college football version as well. How you doing, Chris? What's happening? Chris Velika, everybody.
I'm doing, you know, that's not a bad suggestion, by the way. You guys should just go to the beach, put up some goalposts. I mean, certainly can't be fewer insects around there, and certainly probably quieter out there at the beach, too, just sitting here enjoying the music.
Yeah, I mean, sounds good to me. Let's make it happen. Matt just, he just Jedi mind trick Kelly, though. He's like, you do the spray tan. It's all on you now.
Yeah, like we haven't been waiting for 2 years.
Oh, man. How's the Bear Bets podcast going, man, on Fox? How's it going?
Good. No, yesterday we recorded the second college one with Jeff, Will, and Sammy P, and we did the first pro one, which will be out today as well. But no, I appreciate people who would checked in on Twitter. I'm like, boy, speaking of Twitter, Dr. Bob, wow, a little salty this morning, isn't he? I appreciate the people who did reach out last week. They were talking about, like, we'd love more games, we'd love more talk, less scripted. So hopefully we achieved that goal this week in getting in a lot more games and kind of having that roundtable segment to be a little looser and more animated.
Well, let's make that
so hopefully people will agree.
Yeah, let's make that our North Star as well here as well. Listen, hey, Chris, just one thing. Dr. Bob doesn't care about that stuff. He just wants you to know that. What is your
Not at all. Clearly it doesn't.
He doesn't care. What is your favorite college football play this weekend? Give me your A number one, sir.
I played Temple plus 9.5 against Rutgers, and the number has come down now. So at 8.5 or 9, what it is, it probably wouldn't be my favorite, being that I got it a point or a half point better. But look, last year, this was a 16-14 game. Rutgers clearly still has the offensive problems, less than 4 yards of play against a really bad Northwestern team. And at the same time, yes, Temple did kind of struggle against Akron. And finally, in the second half, they worked themselves into the game and allowed 40 yards. So defensively, I think Temple is decent. Certainly should be able to handle Rutgers. Like I said, 16-14 last year. I don't know what has happened to change the viewpoint of both these teams. Right now, Rutgers should be close to a double-digit favorite. The other game that I like, two other games that I liked. I'm kind of circumventing your question there.
That's okay.
But New Mexico State getting 11 at Liberty, I think it's another game that I liked. That Liberty 10-point win against Bowling Green last week, I think it was a lot more bad Bowling Green than it was good Liberty. If you look at the box score, Bowling Green had 5 turnovers, a lot of them in like key areas of the field, 2-12 on third down, 9 penalties. That's not to say New Mexico State isn't going to go there and help Liberty out with a bunch of turnovers themselves, because that's what they did against UMass when they outgained UMass by like 100 yards and lost the turnover battle. So, but I think getting 11 on the road, I like to be the quarterback. I think they can clean things up.
Go ahead, Chris. Just go ahead. You're okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, between my nasal drip and the background noise, people are really loving this segment.
You have another one, or is that the other one you wanted to give, New Mexico State?
No, I do. I wanted to go on mute and give, like, one good solid.
Please.
Clear of the throat before I was able to get into it. But, look, we've all seen, like Ben Fox tweeted out all that DraftKings info about the betting slips and the lopsided ticket counts and stuff. So, like, the biggest one of the week is Texas Tech, Oregon. Like, Oregon is, like, the squarest play of it all this week. And I labeled, like, the holy trinity of weirdness in college football as, like, Laramie, Lubbock, and Rustin. Well, last week, Texas Tech experienced that firsthand in Laramie, where weather delay, huge lead, overtime, outgained Wyoming by over 100 yards, won the turnover battle, and somehow they lost. Now, it doesn't mean that Texas Tech still isn't the potential Big 12 sleeper that a lot of us thought they might be this year. If you go back, Texas Tech has really done well in the role of, like, home underdog against good teams. Look at last year under Joey McGuire, a couple of outright upsets over Texas and Oklahoma. So, like, you get Tyler Shuck, the quarterback for Texas Tech, who was a former Oregon Duck. So they obviously will be a little bit more animated and motivated to be able to play in this game against his former team. Look, I like Oregon. And Jeff and I got into this on the pod yesterday. Like, really, there isn't anything football-wise that you would say Texas Tech should beat Oregon or compete with Oregon. At the same time, it's a night game on the road in a weird spot against a team with their backs against the wall after kind of having a weird box score loss. I think Texas Tech plus 6.5 is the only way you can play this game.
Yeah, and I said it, I quoted you. I gave you credit for this comment earlier in the week, which is you didn't understand why Texas Tech would have even taken that game at Laramie.
Yeah, and I'm glad they did. Look, as a college football fan, I love when these Power 5 teams go on the road to play the group of five teams. But, like, there's no benefit to doing it for the big team. Like, if you win, you're supposed to win. If you lose, now here you are, 0-1, heading into a home opener against a top 10 team.
You know, there might be some people out there who are sick of talking about Colorado. I'm not one of them. And I just asked Bob what he thought about the line currently. Buffalo's by 2.5. He has Colorado at he has Colorado at 2.5, but it's Colorado by 1, but he wouldn't be surprised if they won by a ton. He rhymed it. Where do you stand on the Buffaloes after you saw their performance against TCU last week? Slow everybody's roll, or are you all about it?
They're going to score on anyone as long as they're healthy. The biggest concern I have with Colorado long term is what happens when inevitably an offensive lineman gets nicked up or someone on the defensive line gets nicked up, areas where they are not deep at all. Like, that's the one thing that I'm curious, and I'll wait until later in the year when maybe some of these numbers don't fully adjust for some of the injuries that they may have had to get involved in Colorado. But I think tomorrow it might be like kind of a team total under game or an under game as a whole. But there's going to be no secrets here. Nebraska's going to run Jeff Sims probably 20 times or so just to try and keep Colorado's offense off the field. So I think that would kind of lean towards it being probably a lower scoring game, clearly, than what we saw last week in Fort Worth. But I just wonder if Nebraska ultimately will be able to put up a bunch. But that's the thing about last week that I need to try, or not me only, but other people need to kind of compartmentalize. Like, TCU should have scored 56 in that game.
Yeah.
They had the interception in the end zone and then the unbelievable play by Hunter near the goal line. Like the Colorado defense has major issues, so maybe Jeff Sims will just run roughshod over him and they will go over. But I can't lay 2.5 with Colorado after knowing what the number was earlier. And again, that number is basically inviting you. Oh, Colorado, all they need to do is beat this terrible Nebraska team that scored 10 points on the road at Minnesota last week. Hey, you just need to beat them by a field goal after they scored 45 points last week. Easy, easy deal. Home opener, everyone's going to be fired up. Like, I can't go there with Colorado. It would be Nebraska or pass for me, but the thing I do like the most is the under here.
Okay. Likes the under the most, that number right now at 59. And real quick then, last 30 seconds here, Chris, talking to the Bear, Chris Felica. What was your, because we didn't get a chance to talk about this, what did you, in the wash, what did you come up with FSU and LSU? Was it FSU's dominant performance in the second half, or is it the what could have been in the first half for LSU?
It came out more towards the FSU dominance, because I think what we saw in the second half was Florida State cleaning up some of those idiotic penalties that they had in the first half, and I think we really saw that defensive line. I was texting with you and Will during the game, and I was texting someone else as well, and talking about like Florida State, like the defensive line was supposed to be dominant, and they played it in that way in the second half. And now you look at the ACC with Clemson struggling. Like the Noles, I think, are a legitimate national title contender now for what we saw in this. Look, I mean, people talk about Johnny Wilson all the time. Keon Coleman is the best receiver on that team, and that was an absolute coup by Mike Norvell and his staff to get him in the portal in Tallahassee.
All right, Chris Velika from the Bear Bets podcast at Fox and all things sports betting at Fox. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, man.
You're welcome, guys. Enjoy the happy hour.
Jason Weingart from Under a Cloud of Smoke on MLB next.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Nothing but football. Football on the show all day today. NFL first hour. We'll get some college football, both from Chris Velika, the Bear, from Fox Sports, and, of course, the analytics side of things with Dr. Bob. First, though, I really should say we bring in Kelly Bidlin because he and JBT have clearly frantically been texting all morning about your Canada FIBA loss. You okay?
That was a tough beat, man. Yeah. I watched absolutely 0 seconds of it because it was at 1:30 tip time, our time, Pacific time.
Well, don't look now, but the USA's in trouble.
They are, although they're cutting into the deficit. 86-80, Germany leads 146 left in the third quarter.
Kelly will have updates all morning long.
I don't care anymore. Canada went down. Let's go to NFL.
NFL, baby. It began, last night in earnest. Games that actually count. We're all super thankful that the NFL is here. That said, what an odd football game between the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs, rife with drops, rife with strange decisions, and it is the Lions who win it outright as plus 180 dogs, 21-20 against the Kelsey-less and Chris Jones-less Kansas City Chiefs. You know, a lot of people going crazy in mainstream media. Oh, what an upset. This was unbelievable. They were a four-point dog in the end. So, again, we'll talk to Matt Brown this hour. He's with us all hour long talking about his takeaways from that game, his season-long bets, his bets this weekend. We have our bets for this weekend in the NFL. We'll get to all of that. But first, last night, as we do here on a numbers game, just sort of a recap of it. Game started 3-and-out from Detroit, 6-and-out from Kansas City. The first sort of big moment in the game, scoreless game, looked like it was going to be a 3-and-out again for the Lions. But 4th-and-2 at their own 17, Kelly, with 9:27 left in the first quarter. They snap it to the up man in punt formation, Jalen Reeves-Maybin. He gets 3 yards, first down Lions, ballsy to begin the season, or at least on the second drive, from Dan Campbell, right off the top.
What was funny was I jokingly called out, Dan Campbell's going to go for it here. And then he brought out the punt team, and I was like, okay, never mind, he's going to punt away.
And then the fake punt. They convert it 10 plays later as they matriculate the ball down the field. Jared Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown from 9 out, 7-0 Lions. They draw first blood. 14-play, 91-yard drive, 1-8-0-4. By the way, if you had Jahmyr Gibbs to score the first touchdown, you were not happy about this because the play before that, Jahmyr Gibbs, who looked like he was going to go untouched or end around into the end zone, tripped over his own 2 feet.
He is such a whole other story on his own of this game, and we'll get to that after.
The lack of touches?
Just the lack of touches,
yeah.
Yes.
At least for most of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kansas City then goes 13 plays, 75 yards, 5:56. Mahomes to Rashee Rice, 1 yard touchdown pass. We're tied up at 7 with 11:50 left. Then Detroit, and this was the thing about the first half. I mean, just a quick reminder that most of this in the NFL really does come down to Plinko. The better you can identify the games that aren't, the better off you'll be. But most of them are. And this one, from a first-half perspective, certainly was. Detroit drives all the way from the 25 to the Kansas City 17. But a snap over Jared Goff's head on 1st-and-10 puts Detroit behind the sticks. 2 plays later, 3rd-and-10 from the 17. Goffed Marvin Jones Jr. Marvin Jones Jr. looks like the Lions are going to settle for a field goal, but Trent McDuffie jars it loose. Brian Cook recovers at the 7. And with 5:14 left, First fumble of Marvin Jones' career. Kansas City has the football. We're still tied at 7. Kansas City 3-and-out. Detroit 3-and-out. Kansas City starts at their own 18 with 2:02 left in the first half. And remember, the spread here on the first half got down to 2.5 in favor of the Chiefs. Mahomes to Rice for 25. There's 1:54 left. But three plays later after a holding call, the entire first half ATS bet comes down to this play. 3rd-and-17 at the KC 36 with 1:07 left. It's the play for the first half bet. Mahomes to Marquez Scantling for 34. Then Mahomes to Justin Watson for 26. Mahomes to Blake Bell from 4 out, just like that. 14-7 KC. And they get the ball first in the second half, leaving just 34 seconds left on the clock for Detroit to work with. Mahomes was 5 of 6 for 92 on that drive. And by the way, on that last 34 seconds, what bizarre clock management by the Lions. Everything short, everything over the middle, didn't really give it a go.
Yeah.
14-7 Kansas City at the half if you had the Chiefs. What a plinko first half victory that was for you. Could have just as easily been a loss. Same thing for the Detroit side. I do have one other note here in the first half. Jawan Taylor has false started the entire game.
It was incredible. It was incredible that everybody in the world saw it except for the refs.
Well, Will Hill reminded me. I once had Jeff Schwartz from Fox on the show, offensive lineman of 9-10 years in the NFL. And I said to him, some game where the right tackle was false starting every single game. I was like, does that drive you crazy? Is he like daring the ref to make the call? And Jeff Schwartz's response to me was, what does it really matter? I'm like, I don't know, Jeff, you get two steps where you can absorb the contact. I don't know, just off the top of my head. Didn't you play the game? Third quarter, KC 5-and-out to start things off. Remember, they had the 2-for-1 basically there.
Right.
But they don't take advantage. Detroit 3-and-out. Then Kansas City third play, and this is where it just, you know, it starts to go haywire for the Chiefs. Third play, 3rd-and-6 from the Kansas City 46. Mahomes intended for Kadarius Toney right off of his hands. Picked off by rookie Brian Branch to the house. 50 yards. We're tied at 14 apiece. Then KC, despite some amazing footwork from Mahomes in the pocket, which is just, you know, sort of a nuanced part of this game, they go 5-and-out. Detroit then, 6 plays. They got to punt it. And this was weird. And this is where the decision-making, right? It's already the drop passes we're going to talk about. We just did about Kadarius Toney for the first time. But 4th-and-3 at the Kansas City 40. 5:56 left in the third quarter. This, remember, after he was super aggressive, Dan Campbell, in the first half at his own 17 in a tie game, a scoreless game. They elect to punt 4th-and-3 at the KC 40.
Sweet punt, Dan. Sweet punt.
But it was one of those.
Made no sense.
At the moment, you're like, is that going to beat Patrick Mahomes? By the way, Greg Allman tweeting out, Chiefs Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore combined for 8 targets last night in their loss to the Lions, yielding 1 catch for 1 yard.
It was rough.
At least 4 drops between the two of them, 3 from Toney. KC starts at their own 10 after that punt. On the strength of a 41-yard PI, where they push Justin Watson off of his route. Chiefs then 4th-and-2 from the Detroit 17. 4th-and-2 from the Detroit 17. Again, tie game. They settle for a Harrison Butker 35-yard field goal just to go up to 17-14. We're talking late third quarter here.
I felt both coaches coached the game scared. I thought that Dan Campbell knew he was in the game with the Chiefs in Arrowhead and didn't want to blow it, so he wasn't as aggressive as he could have been. And then I think the Chiefs were just trying to survive and get out of there with a win.
Super conservative, super inconsistent, super head-scratching decisions. Detroit 3-and-out to span the third and the fourth, beginning of the fourth quarter. Then KC spurred on by a big 25-yard pickup by Noah Gray. They end up with a 2nd-and-1 from the Detroit 20. With 13:03 left, and you're like, okay, well, they're going to pile on here and go up 2 scores. No, the Lions stop a jet sweep for a 1-yard loss, and they force an incompletion. They settle again for a Butker field goal from 39. It's 20-14, KC. Those are the only 6 points that the Chiefs would end up scoring in the second half. Detroit then, and this is their biggest play of the game. This was the game changer. 3rd-and-12 at their own 23. Remember, they're down 6 at this point. Goff to Josh Reynolds for 18. 4 plays later, that kept the drive alive. Goff to Reynolds for 33. A lot of it yak. 2 plays later, Montgomery in from 8 out. 21-20 Detroit. That would ultimately be the final score. But the game wrapped up with a few drives. KC started with 7:06 left at their own 25. They had a 3-and-out, a 3rd-and-1 at their own 34, where Blake Bell, that was the one where he started under center, lined up under center. They did the sweep to Rice. The Lions were ready for it. Josh Pascal got him for a 3-yard loss. 5:07 left. Detroit got the ball back with a 1-point lead. After a false start, Gibbs for 18. There's your guy, Jahmyr Gibbs. Four plays later, fourth and two at the KC 45 with 2:33 left. This time they go for it, trying to put the nail in the coffin, and Goff gets his pass batted down by Justin Reed, and you're like, same old Lions.
Yep.
Here we go.
Yep.
It's all going to end that way. But the final salvo for KC, they start with the ball, 2:30 left, down 21-20. All they need is a field goal to win. That won't get you the cover,
and
but a field goal to winner.
The same thing.
Oh, we're all thinking
the
same
Mahomes
thing.
Mahomes got the ball. You got to go. It's about 30 yards. Kick a field goal. Game's over.
Mahomes, deep, open. Tony, straight drop.
Ugh.
Straight drop. And even Mahomes couldn't hide his frustration at this point. Then a holding penalty negated a big play to Sky Moore after two incomplete passes. Fourth and 20 at their own 35 with 2:09 left. They have all their timeouts left and the two-minute warning. And we're all thinking the same thing. Well, you punt here, right?
You punt.
You punt. No, they're going for it, but a false start. A false start, and
well,
becomes fourth and 25.
Now you obviously punt.
With 2:09 left. Now you obviously punt. We're all thinking the same thing. Now, of course, you punt the football. Nope.
Nope.
They decide to go for it.
Well, they've had reliable receivers all game, too.
All game.
You know what I mean?
And Mahomes throws it past the sticks off the hands of Justin Watson. And that is Katie Barr the door after the Lions get a first down on three runs by Montgomery. Ball game, 21-20 Detroit. Goff, 22 of 35 for 253. Montgomery, 21 for 74. Hope you played the over rushing yards prop that I suggested yesterday. Reynolds, 4 for 80. St. Brown, 6 for 71. Mahomes, 21 of 39 for 226 in the loss. Two touchdowns, one pick. He was their leading rusher, the Chiefs' leading rusher, 6 for 45. His first ever week one loss. The Chiefs were 0 for 7 on third down in the second half. Four dropped passes, three on third down, three by Tony himself. And we'll get into that last, that fourth and 25 after the break, because I want to just talk about that briefly, because it was going around Twitter yesterday. Joe Pita and I were talking about what was the optimal play for the Kansas City Chiefs at that point. It's an interesting question.
Yeah.
But in the end, what's your what is your biggest takeaway? Is it that you can't say anything about the Chiefs because they didn't have Kelce and Jones, or you think the Lions have solidified themselves as clearly no worse than the fourth best team in the NFC?
I don't think we should be overreacting about
anything.
I was impressed with how Detroit looked on both in the trenches on both sides of the ball, but I think they were a little underwhelming too as a big division favorite in the NFC North. I think they could have played better. And look, the Chiefs have some problems they got to deal with, but I think they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Not going anywhere.
We're all thrilled to have football back. That was an odd football game.
I thought it was a great last preseason game.
It was a great fourth preseason game is what it was. That's exactly right. Oh, we don't do those anymore? That counted? Okay. We'll come back. Matt Brown on the game last night and everything week one. Numbers game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get rewarded before you ever place a bet with the GBank Visa Signature Card. Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the GBank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. You'll earn a 1% cash rewards on gaming and sports app loads every time and 2% on other purchases. GBank Visa is a card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere and works with apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/VSIN. Matt, you have your GBank Visa card yet? You got that?
Application is in the mail.
It's pending.
Yeah.
Pending.
Applications in the mail.
Credit check.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Applications.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown here on a Friday morning. Trip Tepper, another NFL game where the point spread didn't matter. Just pick the winner, and you will likely get the cover, too. It's actually 83% since 1978. Only 17% of games does the point spread end up mattering. In other words, favorites win but don't cover. Just to follow VSiN, we can play Name That Tune, Got the Blaring Alarm, maybe add a wild goat or just some general livestock in the background for the trifecta today, perhaps. I'm a listener under any conditions, but get these guys some walls. That's
pumping the Lenny Kravitz right now.
Got a little Lenny going on.
A little Lenny.
Rick Ollier, he says, the biggest takeaway I have from last night was that Patrick Mahomes, hey, someone won a jackpot behind you guys. Mazel tov. X-Prime lets us know, this is from Logan Lemorandier, that Jahmyr Gibbs yesterday, six broken tackles rushing the football per PFF on just seven carries for yards after contact average of 4.86 yards for reference. DeAndre Swift had a total of 24 forced missed tackles last year. Jamal Williams, that is, 30 all of last season. Jahmyr Gibbs was six of them last night alone.
Makes sense, Gil. Only give the guy nine touches. Yep.
No bitterness.
No bitterness. And I loved the draft pick. We all did the draft shows together. I loved Gibbs going early. 12th, I liked the pick.
12th pick of the draft.
12th pick of the draft. 9 touches. What's the plan here?
Underdoggy one. Like that shirt today. What brand is that? Thanks, Ed. People ask me all the time about this shirt and brand, yeah. and I have no response.
I don't know that logo either.
Because fashion stylist Deborah Song got it. And Jason, finally, at Sparty KY, he says, I'm in a survivor pool. Oh, this is good. A little survivor pool reference, because we don't have the Circa numbers yet because the deadline is until tomorrow. He says he's in a survivor pool with 24,890 entries. Whoa. 24,890 entries. 821 had the Chiefs. 821 had the Chiefs. So what's that? Boop, 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 boop. Was that 4%? 4% of the pool.
Yeah, some of those let you do the rebuy, right? Like, and so it was kind of like a no harm, no foul to play the game last night.
That's right.
And so, like, yeah, you could have strategized and actually gone the other direction if you wanted to and played the Lions. And it's kind of like, oh, well, now I'm putting a leg up.
Well, Steve Fezzik, I believe, now will join Survivor. His whole strategy was if all those – he knows there's going to be a bunch of people out of Kansas City, and if all of them are out, he doesn't believe the rebuy will be that massive. Yeah. And so now he's actually playing.
Because you got to do
it in person. Incremental advantage.
And you got to do it in person. That's the other thing.
You got to do it in person. That's right. Most people are like, I'm not flying back in.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. All right. So the Jaguars is your favorite play of the week. What else did you bet?
Yeah. So I have the under in the Titans Saints sitting at 42. Listen, I'm not as high on this Saints team as a lot of people are. I know they're the favorite in the division by default, essentially. You have the best quarterback in the division by default, because you got a rookie and you got some other guys that are trying to prove themselves that are going on here. And then, of course, Baker Mayfield. And I'm looking at this Saints team and I'm like, hey, no Alvin Kamara here in week one. They got a pretty good defense. And I think that they'll be able to kind of stop what's going on the Titans side of things. Titans offensive line, by the way, could be, when this is all said and done, the absolute worst offensive line we have seen in the NFL in quite a while. I mean, this is no talent whatsoever on this team. And so I'm wondering how much success they're going to have moving the ball the way that they've moved the ball in years past, right, which is typically just turn around, hand the ball off to Derrick Henry and let him do his thing. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. The DeAndre Hopkins stuff would have made me feel better if he went to the Chiefs, the Bills, right? Like somewhere where he didn't have to truly be a number one, and then it could be like, oh, okay, that is a really awesome number two. And now DeAndre Hopkins is your number two. That moves the meter for me. Now it goes to the Titans. He has to be the number one, and it's with Ryan Tannehill throwing the ball. It's just something that doesn't really move the meter for me either. And so I don't think they score very much, but they have a pretty good defense too. So I think that they could be kind of in this slog here with this Saints team when it's all said and done. I actually had this kind of in the mid-30s from a scoring perspective, so I really like this thing under 42. I don't think we're going to see very many points.
Under 42.
Any totals for you this week?
No.
No totals for you
this week. Not a
single total. I didn't play one yet. The one I was going to bring up with you guys, thoughts on Broncos Raiders, because that was the other one I'm strong leaning under, but haven't gotten to a bet yet.
I'm told that's an elevation as well, Matt.
It is.
Matt, did you dig into that one at all?
Yeah, I mean, so I don't think the Raiders are very good. I don't think they're very talented. What's going on with this Chandler Jones thing? Yeah. Is he
bizarre.
Like, is he going to play? Is he not going to play with all of that? I don't think they're the outside chance team, I think, to challenge the Cardinals for a worse record if the Cardinals actually do decide to bring back Kyler Murray, which they shouldn't. But if they do and he stumbles into a few wins, it wouldn't surprise me if the Raiders are actually the team that has the fewest amount of wins. I just don't know. This was a stay away for me altogether because I don't know exactly what we have in Russell Wilson at this point. Do you think it is okay, we should firmly blame the coaching regime last year and he's not washed? Do you think, oh no, he's actually fully washed? Or are we at a point where it's like, he's just an aging quarterback who maybe isn't aging very well?
The age curve is taking effect.
Yeah.
Well, there's no clear answer. Joe Pita came on this show last year before the season started and made the case that Russell Wilson was already significantly on the downside. That sort of manifested during the season. But do I think it can't be worse than last year? Yes.
Me too.
So part of that's the coaching, right? He wasn't helped up by that. Now, Sean Payton, regardless of this other stuff that he's on, where he's got to, like, criticize everything in the world, which, weren't you a scab in 1987? Like, how did you become this guy? You haven't won 10 Super Bowls. You've won one. Relax. Yeah. you know, telling Russell Wilson you can't be concerned with Russell Inc. I still think he'll coach him up to a point where he'll have a better season. Now, do I think that's a season-long thing? No, I think he'll be good. He'll be a little better early, and then I think the age he's getting older, and it's not working out well his age curve.
I think we look at some of these guys, and we often reference how Burrow and Herbert have ruined rookie quarterbacks, and how we think about them. Like the Tom Brady thing, we just think that everybody can just play well into their mid to late 30s, and that just was not the case.
Right.
Very recently, that still was not the case. Like, you started hitting 33, 34, your skill set declined rapidly. And, you know, we're at that point with Russell Wilson. I think that Russell Wilson is just, he's getting older, and he's just probably not the same guy that we remember from 3 and 4 years ago, and it's probably only going to get worse. But I don't think he was as bad as we saw last year. If anyone can figure anything out, it would be Sean Payton, but no, I gotta see it to believe it.
That's worth bringing up, though. You're right. Like, the notion that a 34-year-old quarterback would be on the downside of an age curve, there's a whole generation now that's like, what are you talking about, 34? That's how it used to be.
Yeah,
that's how it used to be, for sure. That's how it used to be. What other bets did you make,
though? Yeah, so first one that ever went into my account when all the lines even came out, I thought this was going to move. It didn't. It actually moved against me for a little while. I played the Eagles against the Patriots, and I know it's a favorite on
the
road.
Thank you very much. Kelly and I have had a difficulty with this because we're on the Eagles too, but everybody we bring on the show is on the Patriots.
It is by far the best roster in the NFL, without question. Like, I mean, you look on both sides of the ball. PFF isn't the end-all, be-all, but certainly reference it a lot on the network here. You go in, and they color code guys, right? And so you can pull up the team, and, like, green is good, and dark green is better, and then blue means they're elite. And you pull it up, and everybody's green or blue. Like, the whole team is green or blue. They are either good, great, or elite at their position on both sides of the ball. They have the best offensive line in the NFL. That defensive line is going to be extremely good. They've got an awesome secondary. And the skill position players, how are you going to argue with what they've done there? I don't get it. I don't get the Patriots' love. And if you want to – let's play devil's advocate here. And this is some of the – well, it's this defense has talent. Okay, I'll give you the defense
sure,
has talent.
Sure, me too, yes.
Tell me how they then score and how they outscore the Eagles, because you can't tell me that you think they're going to completely shut them down. That's not going to be the case.
I've asked the question many times, like, what's the offseason? We did this on the preview podcast at Beating the Book. What's the preseason sentiment that you have trouble getting to, that you've heard from most people? This is the week one sentiment that I've had the most trouble getting to. Like, Dr. Bob, who's coming on later talking college football, his only pick in the NFL this week is the Patriots plus the points. And I'm just sort of like, and he explained it was about coordinators being. I get the whole coordinators. The Eagles have two new ones. The Patriots just did something fakakta completely. You know, fakakta last year. So I get that. But I'm with you. I'm like, the line I say is, by the middle of the second quarter, how many of you have the Patriots are going to be like, oh, yeah, I forgot the Eagles are, like, the greatest team going?
Well, so you're going to tell me, best case scenario, they hold them to, what, 23 points in this game? So
sure.
So you're telling me that the Patriots are going to get to 20? I mean, this Patriots offense is not any good. They have no talent. They have nobody out there. And if you're going to tell me, well, it was because the offensive coordinator situation last year, and here comes Bill O'Brien fresh out of the Nick Saban rehabilitation program, and he's going to, like, make everything better, I don't think that's the case. And maybe so later on. The Eagles defense is awesome. Like, this is, like, their Eagles defense is great.
And it's another thing, though, like, that you should expect that to take time. Like, we're going to see that manifest in week one. I'm just not buying it.
Cut to a shot of us Monday morning, and it's the Patriots.
38-14.
38, the Eagles 14. More NFL. We'll see if Matt has any other bets, but really just go through some games randomly, get his thoughts. Week one of the National Football League. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.